Hello, hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to the Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petia Kolibova, an alignment women's coach who guides women to intuitively connect with their inner vision so they can experience personal and professional magnetism and become unapologetically abundant. My mission is to empower visionaries who are on the path to embody their fullest self-expression, to soulfully expand into a quantum leap in all dimensions of their lives. Each week, I will be offering an interview or an idea that will support you to leave behind what isn't serving you anymore and create a life filled with freedom, abundance, purpose, and even bigger impact in this world. No more hiding, no more playing it small. It's time to step up and uplevel your life now. Hello, hello, abundant soul. Welcome to another episode of Unapologetically Abundant Podcast. I'm your host, Petia Kolibova, and today we have a super special guest. And I had the honor to be also on her podcast, Manifesting Mad Money, and I was so excited to bring her on my show because even though we are both teaching about abundance and money, I told her before, there's a different flavor, different accent, different perspective, different stories. And I'm so excited for Yolanda Boyarin to be today sharing her story and how she was able also to overcome the scarcity and create such a rich life while she's now present to her family, which, you know, it really is important to me. So Yolanda, I'm so excited to be here because I know that not only you created abundance for yourself, but you're now teaching it to also others. And I feel like it's so amazing because sometimes I feel like, wouldn't it be just easier to just like create abundance for yourself and you, everybody else, figure it out, you know? But no, you're like, okay, I learned how to do it. Let me teach it to others. And I think it's amazing. So well, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. And getting to know more of your story on my podcast was just so phenomenal. I feel like we vibe in so many different ways. We relate in so many different ways. So I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. And, you know, for those who never, ever, ever heard of you, I'm not going to ask you the boring question to, you know, start sharing your whole story. People can, you know, Google you. They can go to your website, your Instagram. I want to know, like, the you in the here and now. The person who are you here, right now, what are you creating and why? And why is it so important to you? Because I know there is the background story, which, of course, please sprinkle it in because we are today because of who we were. But I'm really curious, like, at this point in time in life, where you are, because, you know, people are saying stories like, there is a recession, everything goes bad, no one is buying. And I feel like you're beating all the odds. And I want our listeners to feel empowered and know that they can do it too.
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking this question because I really do love it. I think that we have the ability to decide what is going to be our future. And I'm someone who I got pregnant at 16, had my son at 17, and very much like you, hustled my way to success. I was in real estate, hustling 6-7 days a week. And I've been with my husband since I was 16 years old. And one of the things that he and my son both complained about is I wasn't present. I wasn't present. And especially when we would go on vacations, I was constantly on my phone. And so when I built this business, it actually happened from a very unfortunate event. My son actually attempted suicide. And that's when I knew, like, I had to prioritize my family over the life that I felt that I needed to build for them. But I wanted to still build success. I wanted to still have the thing that I love. And I love working. I love creating big things. But I wanted to do it in a sustainable way, which I know that you're advocating for that as well. And so I had my Saturn return around all of this time and everything shifted for me. And I really started finding my balance between the masculine and the feminine. And I think that society kind of tells us it has to be go, 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 burnout, all of the things like hustle mentality. And I do think that there is a time for action, but I also think that we get to, again, prioritize those that we love most. We're here to be with them. So the version of me today that you're seeing today is a very different Yolanda than who I was in my past. And it's all about creating sustainable success that is fun and allows me to live my life with those that I love.
And I love that because we just got to it like in a different way. So like for you, it was an event that shook you to your core. And I cannot even imagine. I just can't, because I shared with you on my podcast, I attempted suicide when I was 18. And so I can deeply resonate with it because my uncle actually did commit suicide. And my grandpa tried to commit suicide just like 6 years ago. So it was recent. So for me, it's like very close to my heart. And it's just, I don't know. It's something that you just like, when you know, you know. It's like, and I know you probably, I'm not assuming, but you didn't like experience miscarriage. I did. And I know women who did. There is completely different understanding and bond. Like you cannot explain the things if you didn't go through them and embody the things. So I feel like it's so fantastic that not what happened, right? But what it really led into, that you chose differently and you, I really feel like it's the second chance. And hopefully like our listeners don't have to experience heartbreak and scare like that or something big, because sometimes people think they need to get into the mud. They have to get to the breaking point. And I don't believe that. I mean, if you're listening here or if you're listening on Yolanda's podcast, like you're a person who loves to grow and you don't have to grow just through the pain. So I'm really curious. I would love to know, like, how were you? Because I know you grew up in a scarcity and you are like, I will never, ever, ever live like this from very, very young age, right? But how were you able to see yourself as worthy? You know, because I know you created, you know, $500,000 income in a year. So from a girl who is seeing scarcity around her, where and how did you cultivate that, that trust, that worthiness, that, you know, mentality? Because I know that I used to struggle with worthiness, and a lot of women who come to me, they're brilliant, they're fantastic, they have gifts, and they have troubles charging. They have troubles to see, because they're like, well, I want to help all these people. I'm like, yeah, but you cannot help broke people if you're broke, you know? So what did you do? Like, and I know you did it from very young age, but are there any like pinpoints that you can say like, oh, this really helped me to feel worthy, to feel deserving, to be able to create, but also sustain, Yolanda? That's a big thing too. Some people, they make money and they burn it out quicker than they do it. Listen, been there, done that very well. I can tell you how not to do it, but how are you able to create and sustain the abundance?
So, okay, this starts when I was very young. So I am Mexican, grew up in a small town in Texas, and my family did not have anything. My mom was a single mom of three kids. My brother's 14 years older than me. My sister's 12 years older than me. I remember I was 4 and 5 years old. We lived in a 2-bedroom with 7 people in it. So in one bedroom was my mom, my sister, and I sharing a room. In another bedroom, my brother, I think, was 17 at the time, and he had a child young too. So it was him, his girlfriend, and his son. And then I had a cousin who slept on the couch. That was his room. And we were all just trying to make it. We were so poor. You know, we live in Texas. It's hot here. We could not afford to turn the AC or the heat on. So my mom put foil all over the windows to help. But it was so hot at night. And the only way that we would cool down is she would tell us before bed, go take a cold shower and then just go to bed. Like, that's literally my story. And the only way I ate was by going to my grandmother's house because we couldn't afford food. My mom would have a cup of coffee at work as her breakfast. A bag of chips, if she could find 25 cents to put into the vending machine, was her lunch. And then she ate dinner at my grandmother's house. So we were dirt poor. And so I remember going to the store with my mom And back then, like, you could, do you remember those little paper dolls that you could get in like the books, the magazines?
Yeah.
And I brought this to my mom and it was a dollar. And I was like, Mom, I really want this. And she goes, we cannot afford that. And I remember after so many times of hearing, we can't afford that, I remember clicking at 4 years old. I told myself, when I grow up, I am never going to be in this position. So I think for me, it was just the constant denial of we can't afford this. We can't afford this, which really made me determined to change my situation. And ever since that point, I have always told myself, like, whatever I want, I'm going to get. Whatever it is that I want, I'm going to get. And so there's no like turning back for me. There's no other alternative, right? Like, I've been dirt poor. I grew up dirt poor, but that was not an option for me. And even when I had my son, we were on government assistance living in low income apartments. But I was like, this is not going to be my life forever.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's so beautiful to see how life can really turn around. And I feel like there are two options, actually. I mean, there's probably a million, but what I see as like two big paths is when you're living in certain environment, you can say like, well, this is all that is. Or you can say, no, I don't want this and I'm choosing something different. It's like if your parents are alcoholics and you are like, okay, this is how it is. I'll just be 11 and start drinking. Or you can be like, no, I see what it does. I never want to experience this. The same with money. I see what it does. I never want to experience this. And I was sharing with you, when I was growing up, I saw all the good people, like my grandma. She was so freaking amazing with money, but she literally had like no money. You know what I mean? Like, with a very little, she lived so well. I'm like, how do you even save up money from this? Like, I couldn't survive on it. And she was so good with money, but she was like poor. And then my stepfather, he was abusive and just bad person, mean person, like sarcastic, putting people down. And he made great money. So in my mind, it was like, oh, the bad people make money, the good people are poor. And it took me literally decades to rewrite that.
Yeah. And I think that is a place that we can get stuck in, right? Is like thinking that it's one way or another and not putting ourselves in the situation of, I'm a good person and I can be a good person and make a lot of money, because I feel like money amplifies who you are already, you know? So yes. I think it takes, like you said, a lot of that rewiring to say, like, I can have both. There's duality. I can have both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally like see that. It's not this or that. It's this and that. Like, we can have that. It's amazing. How do you feel about clients that you work with when they come and they say, like, there is a recession. People are not buying. People don't invest in a coaching. Because, for example, when COVID started, like, my business literally tripled. It was booming. And there were people like, oh, but people are not going to be investing and there will be a crash. And so how do you deal with that mindset part? How do you keep your mindset to take, I almost wanted to say, take money for granted, in a sense, like, not, you know, like, there's always more money. There's always clients who want to invest. Like, how do you keep that mindset going and how do you teach it to your clients?
So the first thing I always say is like, what you focus on expands. So when COVID hit was actually like, I was very new to my business and that was my first multi-six-figure year. I had so many people coming to me saying, I want to invest in your program, but right now it's so scary. We don't know what's going to happen. And I was like, this is the time that you doubled down on your belief that it's going to be different. So one of the things that I always ask myself is it true that people are not spending money? No, of course it's not true. We're spending money on everything every single day. Now, if people want to say, well, I only have room for the necessities, okay, that might be true. But there's also things that we're also buying, even when we really only have room for necessities. Like, think about it. Like, we're buying maybe the candy bar at the grocery store or even, you know, coffee or things like that. And so I really try to focus on, if I know this is a horrible thought, but I think of it like this. If you were homeless, it still would never be your last dollar. You would still never have your last dollar. Because even if you were homeless, you would still find a way to get money somehow, some way. And one of the things I always ask my clients is, if your children, especially because I work with a lot of moms, right? Like if your children did not have food to eat tonight, unless you made a sale, could you make that sale? And every time they always say, of course, if my child needed to eat, I would make it happen. And so when you think about the power of the mind in the sense of your beliefs may be going to scarcity, but when it goes to someone that you love, need like your children not eating, oh no, we are resourceful. We will figure it out. We will find a way to make it happen. So I just look at it as even if I was homeless begging on the street, or like I could go work at McDonald's, or I could ask somebody for a dollar, like it's never going to be your last dollar.
I don't want to say like I love that, you know, because these are like extreme examples, and it's true. Yeah. It's completely true. It's like I believe that Tony Robbins was making this example, like if someone would be like harming your family and they say like we needed, you know, $10,000, would you like make it happen? Of course you would, because it's a must. Mm-hmm. So things have to become in your life must. So I'm curious, how do you make your business and your services a must for people to buy?
Well, I think that's okay. So this is where we get into sales psychology, right? Like I love sales psychology. What we have to understand is that so many people, especially online, they are trying to sell from emotion, right? Like they're trying to convince someone, you should buy my program because it's the best, blah, 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 blah. And you're going to feel, are you ready for more? Are you ready for the big breakthrough? And that's never going to, you're never going to convince someone. Imagine if, I'm not a political person, but imagine if maybe like a Democrat were tried to convince a Republican to become a Democrat. It's just never going to happen. And there's a very strategic process that your brain is going through when it is making a purchase. So whether you're buying something for $5 or $5 million, your brain is going through the same process. And what I find is that a lot of people are doing this out of order, trying to sell from emotion, and then it turns the brain off. So what I do is I focus on the tangible thing, the visible thing. Like, what is it that this person is coming to me saying that they need to walk away from with this thing, right? And then I talk about that. And then from there, the brain goes through, okay, I have the visual of this thing, even if it's a service, even if it's not a product that I can physically hold, but now I know what to expect. Now I'm going to have an internal dialogue with myself of how do I feel about this? And then we start going to the emotion. So when we're talking about making something a need versus just a desire, we actually need to touch on both. We need to touch on the need, and we have to touch on the desire, because people buy from value. So have you ever had a client that tells you, or, you know, a potential client tell you, okay, this is great, but I can't afford it?
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure you, right?
And I then think we all did.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, maybe you see them with the new iPhone, or maybe even going on vacation, and you're like, wait a minute, I thought they couldn't afford it. Well, it's not that they couldn't afford it. It's that they didn't find value in being able to afford your service. So for instance, if I walk into Chanel or Louis Vuitton and I spend $5,000 on a purse, that's a lot of money on a purse, right? But the thing that makes it okay to my brain is I'm walking out of the store with this $5,000 bag in my hand in exchange for my cash. Versus when we're selling something online, like a service or a course or a program, people are really having to dig deep. Do I believe in the person that's selling it? Do I believe in the offer that they're selling? And then the last one, which most people struggle with the most, is do I believe in myself to be able to get these results? And so when you can make something tangible to the consumer mind, think about it like this. I know you were in fitness. Fitness coaches do this all the time, right? How can you make a service that it cannot be touched or held in the hand? How do you make it tangible? How do you make it visible to the eye? you show before and afters, right? Like fitness people show before and afters. This is where this client was 3 months ago, and this is where they are now. And that's the picture that we have to paint in our buyers' minds for them to see, okay, I'm willing to make this investment. I'm willing to trust myself. I'm willing to go in on this thing.
That's powerful. I love that. And I love everything you're saying. It is so amazing and so powerful. And like you said, we are trying to sometimes go into the emotions and convince people. And I gave up on that years ago. I'm like, if you don't want to come with me, like, you're not my person. But people have to clearly understand, if they do come with you, what is that can happen? And I love that, because I'm a visual person, like that before and after. What do you do, Yolanda, though? Because we all have some star clients. We have clients who come to us and in a month they double their revenue. We have a client who go from $1,500 to $30,000 a month. We love those. We celebrate those. What if you do have clients that don't have those results? How are you not hard on yourself? Because we don't want to just blame them, like, oh, they're lazy or whatever, right? Like, how do you keep that confidence as a coach, as a leader, as a way shower, when you are like, well, not every one of my clients have these star results?
Yeah, I love this question because it's so raw and so real. The best thing that I do with my community is I say, tell me what's going on. And then they're usually like, what? And I'm like, okay, it's not working. Tell me why it's not working. Tell me, are you confused by the process? Are you scared to put yourself out there? Are you? And usually, you know this, I'm sure you've heard this before. Usually our ego comes up with some reason why it can't work, right? Like the algorithm, this, and I can't because this person said they can't afford it. And the way that I look at it is very much like I looked at it when I was a little girl, right? Like my mom kept telling me, I can't afford this. I can't give this to you. And so I took it upon myself of, I'm never going to have that situation. So I took responsibility. How do I create this result? How do I make this happen? And so when we have our ego making up these lies, I challenge that, because that is the mindset piece that's kind of holding us back, right? And so it's like, okay, what is your mind telling you? And now let me show you why this is not true, because you've probably already achieved a result in some way in your business. Let me show you proof that you are capable of doing this. And when we can take responsibility for our own transformation, and we can say, okay, I'm not going to blame the algorithm anymore. The algorithm isn't, you know, doing what I want it to do, or my posts aren't doing, how can I improve that? How can I beat that? What is the solution? I even created a program called Pivot at one time, because my thought is, as entrepreneurs, our entire job is to pivot. Nothing is ever going to remain the same. The market is never going to remain the same. The way that people respond is never going to remain the same. Like, we continue to grow as people year after year. And so if we can just ask ourselves, what is the pivot? What is the thing that I actually have control over? Then everybody can get a result. So that's where I go to those clients and I'm like, what's not working? What's happening? What's going on? What are you telling yourself? And let me show you how we can actually make this happen.
So powerful. So powerful, Yolanda. And I know we can be sitting here and talking for next 3 hours, because there is so many beautiful synchronicities. But for those who are listening and who are like, I want to go deeper, I want to learn more, what is the best way to connect with you?
Yeah, well, just like you, I love hanging out on Instagram. So you can find me at Yolanda Boyerin, or my podcast, Manifest Mad Money. And my website is manifestmadmoney.com.
Love that. Let's manifest it all. Yolanda, thank you so much for being here, for the work you're doing, and for the shifts and pivots you're creating in people's lives.
Thank you so much for having me.